The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good morning. It's 8 a.m. Central Time where we are. It's 9 a.m. on the East Coast where Florida gal is Sally Saxon, Juris Doctorate. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning. Thanks so much for having me on, Dave.
Here's the thing, folks, and we were just talking to Jeff in North Carolina, who's a disabled vet whose family pretty much has, snubbed him as far as the jabs go, because a lot of them went out and got it, and then some, and then the boosters, and then, it's now they're being affected by this, and he wants us to hold them in our prayers. Since you're an ordained Christian minister, I think we can agree that they definitely need our prayers. Your retired attorney, your award-winning author and speaker, hosted the Astound Yourself podcast. It's like a lot of people have podcasts. It's just like, are people paying attention? That's the beauty of it all, because some people, and this is the thing, I've been critical sometimes, and I don't think unfairly. I've been critical a lot of podcasters because they're out there creating news just to make a name for themselves, because I got the scoop, because as a news journalist for many, many years, I look at this thing and I go, okay, are you reporting the news? Are you reporting the opinion? What are you doing? So you went out as an author and speaker and retired attorney and decided you were going to take on the status quo and look at this COVID-19 vaccine program and what the medical industrial complex is not telling us. And you wrote a book by that name.
Right.
How did you manage to get into the fray? I mean, did it just fall in your lap or what happened?
Well, I didn't start out intending to write a book on this subject. But, when I started listening to interviews with people who had very bad adverse reactions and injuries from the shots, and listening to their testimonies was so heartbreaking, and just how it turned their whole life upside down and their whole family's life upside down. And I got concerned about that. So I thought, a lot of doctors are not aware of these things, of the reports from the independent media and about the dangers of these shots. And so I had already been doing a little bit of research, so I started putting it together. It started out, it was going to be just a little report that I was going to run off copies of my laser printer and distribute to people locally. That was the idea. But the more research I did, the more I found out about how bad these things are, and a lot more information like, oh, they would need to know this and they would need to know that. This is important stuff. So the little report grew and grew. And finally, when it got to like 60 long, big pages, I thought, okay, this is getting a little much. And I thought, I need to get some professional medical critique here. And so my pastor introduced me to Dr. Deb Viglione, who was friends and colleagues of Dr. Jim Thorpe. And, I was just looking for feedback and, is this correct?
Oh, you got it, didn't you?
And they were both very active in the health freedom movement. And, but I didn't know anything about them. And so they looked at what I had, which I'd put in a big booklet. And they said, oh, my goodness, it's sort of like they had been looking for something like this, or a lot of information, pertinent information, all compiled into one place. There were by that time, there were so many interviews and articles and even some books and so forth on the subject. But it's like, how do we remember all this, pertinent information? So I had just started compiling it and putting it, together in one place, trying to hit the key points that I thought, people would need to know, especially, doctors, about, the problems with these shots, and giving enough evidence, solid, credible evidence, not just any evidence, but solid, credible evidence to support each point enough so that people could see, ooh, we have a problem here. You know, like, you know, evidence that these are not even vaccines in the first place, and that that was a big misrepresentation about what these shots really were. Plus, you know, was a vaccine even necessary in the first place? And looking at certain key criteria, and as much as possible, using like CDC, FDA, Pfizer's, you know, own data and documents, which they, of course, either ignore or totally mischaracterize even their own data. You know, it's just really amazing. And so the more I got into it, I realized there's just a lot, you know, the medical industrial complex, the people at the top, you know, in these various sectors like the government, big pharma and so forth, they're just lying about every single point. And it was astounding to me, even though I was aware of this agenda, you know, that wealthy elites have. I've been aware of that and studying that for many years. But when it came to all things COVID, it kind of took the deception and the lies to a whole new level. And I was really astounded by how many different points they actually lied about and misrepresented, or just sometimes made things up that had no basis, no evidence to support it at all. And so Deb and Jim and I got together, and by the time we all got done with it, they added things to it. I added more things to it. And we got a book here. What do we do with this now? You know, and then I didn't know who they knew. And so when we finished the manuscript, we sent it out to different people that they knew. They sent it to their friends. And so we started getting these wonderful endorsements, like Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Mary Talley Bowden and, you know, Steve Kirsch and different ones. And it's like, oh, my goodness. You know,
half the frontline doctors crowd. Yeah. Look at this big book of memorandum on points and authorities. I mean, this is the thing, you know. I mean, you're a retired attorney. I was going to ask you, what is your specialty? I mean, when you were practicing, what was your specialty, or did you have one?
Oh, well, when I was in a big law firm in Seattle, I was in their litigation department, but I was doing mainly research, analysis, you know, writing memoranda. So, you know, I just took those skills and applied them to, you know, this other.
There you go.
And, you know, it's the same skills. And, you know, 'cause when you look at evidence, I mean, you know, it's like something's wrong with this picture. Like when the CDC says, no, there haven't been any deaths associated, you know, with the COVID shots. And yet their own reporting system is showing thousands of deaths had been reported. And Pfizer's own documents are saying thousands of deaths had been reported to them. How do you say there have been no deaths associated with this shot? So, I mean, there are just so many things that didn't make sense. So what I tried to do in the book was to connect a lot of dots, you know, and ask, you know, several questions to kind of make people think, like, how can these shots be represented as safe and effective when there had been no long-term safety data? I mean, that's an irrefutable fact, because there was no long-term data. And so how can they call it safe and effective? But there are just so many examples of just lies, misrepresentations, corruption, and just clear evidence there's an agenda going on. And so for me, it was really important that people understand the depth of the deception and lies surrounding all things COVID, really. You know, which should give you an indication there's something bigger going on here. And indeed, you know, we talk about the big picture. It's in, you know, the last part of our book. We talk about the big picture that all things COVID fit into, and why it's so important for people to understand that, you know, this isn't just a situation of of incompetence or mismanagement or mistakes or things like that, that there is a deliberate agenda. And it's, if you don't understand what the agenda is and who's behind it all, it's very difficult for people to believe, you know, that our own government could actually be trying to hurt us and harm us. And that's a key thing that we need to understand. Because in the end, as we talk about it in the book, you know, we're in a war. I'm sure you've talked about this many times, Charlie, and it's a spiritual war at its root. And what does that mean for everyone? Because if it's a spiritual war, then that requires a spiritual response. And there's no fence to sit on in this war. You know, you're either on the side of the people trying to play God, or you're connecting with God, and there's no in between. And the default is, if you don't, you know, choose, you know, God, then you're enabling and supporting the other side. And
couldn't have been better put.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a big problem. And so our intent with this book was to provide a resource that would help people when talking about this subject with other people. They'd have some solid, you know, evidence and points that they could make, and some, you know, questions that they could ask. You know, like, for example, if these shots are so safe and effective, why have so many doctors who spent decades of their life training and in practice, why would they be willing to risk losing everything? You know, their reputation, their livelihood, their credentials, perhaps even their life, you know, by spreading what the other side is calling misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
Who would do that? No rational, logical person would risk losing everything. And so, you know, as an attorney looking at that, it's kind of a test. So whose report are you going to believe? And if somebody is taking a certain position on an issue, and they're willing to risk losing everything by taking that position, they're probably telling the truth. And they probably have very good, solid reasons and basis for taking that position. It's, I mean, like, you know, look at the doctors. I mean, like my two co-authors. Why would they stick their neck out on the line like that? You know, when all the doctors had been sent a letter, back in 2021, I guess it was, from their boards saying, hey, if you spread misinformation about, you know, COVID, your license may be on the line. Yeah. So, you know, that can be very intimidating. And yet, look how many doctors still went out of their way to say, no, we've got to warn people about the danger of this. So the book is not only a resource for people to get armed with with solid evidence and arguments, you know, information to share with others, but especially we want to encourage people to give a copy, like, to their doctors, and just, you know, put it in the, right in their hands, because, and we know that not everyone's going to even open it, but if they've got something right in front of them in their face, you know, that has, it's extensively documented. We've got over 600 footnotes, you know, in this book. And, you know, some of those are medical studies. Some are, you know, just, you know, data from the CDC, FDA, Pfizer documents, and various other sources, a lot of interviews of the experts on different points concerning this. And so, you know, but I believe if you never know who's going to respond in what way. And, yeah. And so, you know, that's the whole point, is to have a resource of key information that it's easy enough for non-healthcare professionals to read, you know, as well as having, you know, solid information, you know, for the doctors and other healthcare professionals to find out some things that they didn't know. And in fact, Deb DeGleon, right at the beginning of this whole process, when we started working together, she said, you know, when I talk to groups of healthcare professionals about these subjects, the most frequently asked question is, why haven't we been told about this before? And so I thought, well, if that's your most frequently asked question, we better address that in the book. So we do, actually in three chapters. And that's where a lot of examples of the censorship and the corruption and everything behind, you know, all that, you know, comes into play. And to help people understand, well, why haven't we been told, you know, this? Well, it's because there's that bigger agenda out there. And that's a whole nother subject too.
It is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as in all perspective, when you started writing this book and you started seeing all these results splashing out onto the pages, as you have, when you're writing this book and you're talking to these doctors and you're getting feedback from other doctors on the outside who see what's really going on. I came through the plandemic, Mickey Willis, Dr. G.D. Mikovits, who's a friend, personal friend. I came through that crowd of people doing the research when this first came out, and they started looking out of the microscope. And Judy, of course, worked at Fort Detrick, Maryland. So we were able to put two and two together back in 2021. And I was talking to people when I was in Florida who were all going, hey, my grandmother just got the shot, and now the whole side of her face is swollen up. And I'm like, we knew this is what was going on. And people were just lining up en masse because, like you said earlier, they put their faith in government instead of God, and the government lied to them. And this has been the hardest thing for my listeners, Sally Saxton, the hardest thing for my listeners is to be able to communicate with their family members that all turned away from God, put their faith in government, believed the lie, took the jab. Now they're infected with something that most of our listeners think is nefarious, DNA-altering garbage that could only be satanic in its very nature. I mean, this is the thing. Your book seems to want to go into that realm, or does it get that deep into the realm of helping our listeners if they bought this book, which you can buy, by the way, through the Power Mall by clicking on the guest tab. Get the book and study it, and then you can frame the answers, because a lot of these people with the family members of our listeners, they're in denial still, even though they're faced with the facts. We got to shake the tree loose here.
Right. Right. And I would say also, you know, don't make assumptions about who might be receptive to the information and who wouldn't be, because oftentimes we'll be surprised that some people we would think would be willing to receive it and glad to receive it are not. And then other people, you know, we thought would not be likely to receive it or believe it, but they do. So, you know, it's like with sharing the gospel, you know, plant the seeds. You never, because you just don't know who's going to respond in what way.
Yeah, because people I know that got the jab, we ended up burying them, you know, days later, because after the second Pfizer shot, they dropped dead of a heart attack.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we know these things are lethal, and we know what they do. And like I said, after visiting with people at Halt, that's an alliteration of H's, Halt Hospital Homicides, which they have a .com out there. They're working with former Feds Group. Did you get any feedback from them as well?
Oh, yeah. You know, Carolyn Blakeman has been
great.
When she read the book, I mean, she just absolutely loved it and appreciated it so much. So she's always talking about it. And, you know, there's one quote on the inside of the book, as well as on the back cover, we had that it says, it's a quote by William Wilberforce, who was, you know, a leader of the movement to abolish slavery in 19th century England. But the quote is, "You may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know." And that kind of sums up the perspective that we put it all together. You put it in your hands. Now you're accountable. If you choose not to read it, doctor, you know, you can make that choice, but you're still accountable for the information that's in that. And
wow.
So, you know, we just pray that, you know, God will move on people, especially in the healthcare profession, to read it. We also include a chapter right at the beginning about, cautioning, a word of caution as well as a word of encouragement to people who've received the shots or administered them or recommended them. Because, one of the issues that's coming up is, guilt and, shame or other real negative emotions. And, of course, the trauma that I think practically every healthcare professional has experienced, as well as a lot of the rest of us, but dealing with those issues is difficult. And so we try to, show that, hey, God can handle everything. There's no reason to fear, and he's very forgiving, his mercy endures forever, and giving people real hope and encouragement that even to the extent that man's best efforts to provide solutions aren't good enough, everything is possible for God. And even now, as we're preparing volume two of the book, it's not finished yet, but hopefully by summer we'll have that out, where we talk about more specific protocols and treatments that have been shown to be effective, for long-haul COVID as well as, vaccine injuries. But God is still the ultimate healer. So there's absolutely nothing, we believe, that cannot be reversed in one way or another. And, we need to really stand on that and give people hope and encouragement, and not to fear, because even in since the first book was published, a lot more has come out about, effective treatments. But you have to go to the right healthcare providers, because most of the medical doctors, don't know what's going on. They haven't made the connection yet between a person's injuries and the vaccine, and they don't know how to treat it. I was just listening to another testimony by somebody the other day. They went through six other doctors before they found somebody who could actually provide something that helped them. And so we want to help give some ideas and resources, for the healthcare providers as well as patients to know that, hey, there's this, and this that have helped with these various problems that people are dealing with now. And some of them are a lot simpler and less expensive than they think. But, of course, they'll have to be under the care of their own personal healthcare provider. But
yeah, there are the legal implications of all this. And I have brought this up because even the frontline doctors now have come up with and this is Peter McCullough and everybody else, have come up with a wellness kit. And I'm like, wait a minute. And you look at the list of big pharma drugs inside the wellness kit, and I'm like, oh my God, what are you doing? This is exactly the same. You got one side pushing back against the mainstream who's been threatened by the medical boards. You've got the frontline doctors that are all saying, yeah, we got the wellness kit and this will help. You got Dr. Elizabeth Vliet, who we've had on the show before, that is actually treating patients that are in Arizona that are affected by this. Then you've got the situation with the legal implications of, look, my family doctor told me I should get this jab. He said he got it, and I asked him, is it safe and effective? And he lied to me, and now why should I trust modern medicine? And here I am. I have to, now that I'm vaccine injured or lost a member of my family due to this doctor's malpractice, now I have to go back to the same doctor for care, with the legal implications are that if I attack his insurance policy, he won't have it. They will deny him his insurance and he can't practice anymore. I mean, the legal implications are huge all over the country for every practicing physician. I would think a book like this would scare the hell out of them.
Yeah. Well, we're just trying to help people and give some resources and information about what has been shown to actually be effective and working, for different types of conditions. And we need a lot more healthcare providers who are knowledgeable, who've been, studying these things and working with, other healthcare professionals who have, come up with these solutions. And so, I think people who are still struggling with a lot of these issues, you know, should be encouraged that there is hope, but you're going to have to go outside of modern medicine. And it's encouraging to me that more and more medical doctors are seeing that the solutions lie with natural medicine and more natural remedies and therapies, you know, not with the pharmaceutical drugs. But we need so many more. And I do see, I'm not sure if you do, but I do see, you know, that shift of some doctors, you know, more toward functional, integrative, natural, you know, medicine. But it's a process because it requires some re-education, you know, and training in a whole different area than they were trained in medical school. And then the same with patients, too. It's like they need, you know, we all need to be educated that, you know, modern medicine doesn't hold the answers and the solutions for a lot of these issues. And so we have to look outside that. And a lot of the patients are not, that's hard for them because they're so used to going to their, you know, their medical doctor. And I come from a family of medical professionals training, you know, so, you know, I want to, you know, defend them, and I know the, you know, their character and all, but, you know, the problem is that whole system, you know, that the Rockefellers and Carnegies, you know, started, you know, over 100 years ago and went off into, you know, more the synthetic drugs, you know, oil-based, petroleum-based pharmaceuticals, and away from the natural, you know, that's been a very difficult challenge. So there's a lot that, you know, we patients need to, we need to make some hard decisions too and not be tied into our medical insurance, you know, the way, that's a whole other.
You know. Oh, it is. It definitely is. But the other thing, before we close here, because we got a minute left, this whole thing, when it all boils down, looked to so many of us, and I have been pontificating this ever since it came out, that this was a designated bioweapon with the intention of inflicting death and destruction on the world's population. Did you come to that conclusion?
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, it goes beyond just the depopulation, and you get into the transhumanism and synthetic biology, and that's, you know, getting into the ultimate agenda, which we discussed to a certain extent at the end of this book, and we'll go into more in volume two.
Well, we appreciate that, and that's one of the things why, you know, folks, if you want to investigate this, go to our guest tab on thepowerhour.com. If you want more insight, Sally Saxon, S-A-X-O-N, has a .com website of her own. The CVbook.com is another good resource if you want more information. We have a bunch of researchers out there that are looking for answers to communicate to their loved ones. In the interim, Sally Saxon, thank you so much for being on the show. You've been a delight, and God bless you for the work you are doing.
Okay, thank you so much, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll be talking to former Congressman Jody Heiss when we come back. Stay with us.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars, and when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean black seed oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on black seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Hi everyone, this is Catherine, producer of the Power Hour. Not very many of you know that I suffer from an autoimmune disease, and one product that I depend on daily is Global Healing Center's organic plant-based selenium. Selenium is essential for optimal endocrine and immune function, and for moderating the inflammatory response. Not only that, but this essential trace mineral plays a vital role in promoting a healthy thyroid, maintaining cardiovascular health, and supporting metabolism. This expertly crafted supplement is extracted from the mustard seed plant. It is vegan-friendly and high bioavailable, ensuring optimal absorption of this powerful antioxidant. So whether or not you're dealing with an autoimmune disorder like me, or you simply want to boost your immune function, I recommend you try Global Healing Center Selenium from the Power Mall. It's available by going to thepowermall.com or by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. 9829.
33 minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you, and the Power Mall is now open at 877-817-9829. I've been reading this book. I have it in my hot little hand right here. I'm going to hold it up the screen so you can see it. It's by former Georgia Congressman Jody Heiss called Sacred Trust. And I'll tell you what, it's an interesting read, the way he writes it and the number of people who have endorsed the book. Now, I don't know if you know too much about Jody Heiss, but he is a former pastor. And he comes from a very interesting spiritual background. He served Georgia's 10th congressional district in the United States Congress for 8 years, was a leading player on Capitol Hill in the fight to protect our constitutionally awarded freedoms, which, of course, if you look in today's thing, given that list of 72 things I just wrote that make you an enemy of the state that I just recited here, this is the very stuff that he fought for, including a battle of the Ten Commandments to keep them in the county courthouse, which they lost, but eventually the state of Georgia managed to recover. Then he fought the IRS, and literally they did nothing, because as you know, this 501c3 code they wrote for all the churches in America. I've read this stuff, all right? As a paralegal, I go in and read constitutional issues, and I study what the codes say, because it says that preachers can't sit there and pontificate voting block stuff and political views and espousing and telling their congregations which way to go without violating this code and risking losing their tax exemption. So they've taken the right away for religious freedom and turned it into a privilege under 501c3. Former Congressman Jody Heiss, welcome to the show, sir.
Great to be with you, Dave. Thanks so much.
You know, I mean, you have just this book. I mean, what a road to hoe. This is huge. The stuff that you've done and your conflicts with John Boehner and everything that you did, and you actually got to wade into the D.C. swamp and saw it firsthand. I think people need to understand your first impression about how you were basically motivated, so to speak, and I use that word loosely, to run for Congress in the first place. And then when you got there, the shock of your life. Could you explain?
Yeah, you know, this was never something that was on my radar to run for Congress. I was a pastor for almost 30 years, about 25 plus years, and was loving it. I mean, that was my calling, my love, and we're part of growing churches and so forth. And I had always, along the way, been involved in helping candidates who I believed in, and we all frequently had them in our church family, from county commissioners and so forth. And so I was engaged politically from that perspective and so forth. But when the battle with the ACLU and then the IRS came my way, these were battles we did not seek. They were battles that just came after us and our church. And so we, you know, I took a bold stand and stepped out of the arena, and it just like that opened up a national, I got pushed into a national focus, a national arena that I had never anticipated, never sought. But one thing led to another. Out of the first battle with the ACLU, a local radio station contacted me, asked if I would give weekly updates on that case. And of course, that eventually turned into a very popular show. And they said, would you do this every day? And that turned into a national show. We ended up on about 400 stations daily across the country dealing with some of these issues. And then our congressman resigned, and people from all over started reaching out and asking if we would consider running. And that's kind of how we got into this arena. We felt strongly that the Lord was leading the way for us to move in this direction. And so that's how we got there. And then, yes, the time in Congress, it was, you know, the greatest honor of my life, greatest headache of my life, all at the same time. There is the good and bad and the ugly that was all wrapped up into it. But I go through a lot of that in the book, as well as the primary issue of election integrity that, in many regards, I became, at least from Georgia, probably the tip of the spear on that issue.
Well, and see, and I have been pushing this like crazy, telling people that please do not sit at home and say my vote doesn't matter. I don't want to hear it. That's not godly. And see, this is a spiritual battle that we are in the middle of, is it not?
Absolutely. 1,000% agree with you. And that's really the drive behind the title, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity and the Will of the People. This whole issue, we are a country that is based upon the consent of the governed, not the consent of the governing. This is a country based upon the will of the people and the voice of the people, and that is what elections are all about. Elections are not about who wins or who loses. Elections are about whether or not the will of the people was accurately heard and accounted. And from that perspective, it is a sacred trust that must be protected both from the voters, but also from our elected officials, whose responsibility it is to defend and protect the sacredness, if you will, of that election process.
Well, and we have so many people right now. In fact, this morning's headlines, 18 people in Arizona, including Rudy Giuliani and Mark Meadows, have been indicted by a grand jury in Arizona, which we've always said that you could get a prosecutor to indict a ham sandwich. I'm quoting Jerry Spence now. But the thing is that now they've been indicted for being fake electors, which really blows me away, because the question was posited by one of our listeners, and you might have an answer for this, is how is it that they're indicting all these people after the fact, unless they're scared that this thing will come back to bite them, because we might have election interference again in 2024?
Yeah, you know, I think it is fair. This is absolutely unprecedented. There are lists, decades, literally, of Democrats who have objected to virtually every election where a Republican won on the federal level, And they have never been accused of being threats to democracy or election deniers. They've done it over and over and over and over. But now, look, through COVID, there were all sorts of reforms, if you will, to election laws across the country that created a host of problems. And then when a Republican questions some of those issues, all of a sudden now they need to be indicted. They're criminals. They're threats to democracy, threats to our society, and they need to be indicted and locked up. It is all based on fear that the left is losing on not only this issue but many other issues, and they're scared to death with this upcoming election. So, look, I don't. My intent in this book is not to be political, but you asked the question, and I do agree that that's. I believe this is absolutely politically driven. It is not legally driven. We have the right to question an election, particularly when there were authentic problems in an election. We need to get to the bottom of it, and yet these folks want to turn it around and criminalize anyone who even questions the outcome of an election when there were legitimate reasons to have questions.
Well, and then the fact that Georgia right now has all of a sudden become the hotbed of a potential criminal issue with Fannie Willis, who basically hired a media consulting group to see how her popularity would rank going after President Trump, who I was fascinated by the fact that you actually got invited personally, along with 17 other congresspeople, to show up in the White House and go visit the Oval Office. Can you, at least without giving away all of the info, could you describe your feelings in your meeting with President Trump and what your personal regard is for him?
Yeah, I had multiple meetings with President Trump, and what led me out of Congress is the fact that I ran for Secretary of State in Georgia, and President Trump endorsed me. So from that time on, we spent a lot of times conversing and so forth. But I found President Trump to be an incredibly gracious individual. He is extremely personal. When you're in his presence, he looks you straight in the eye. You feel as though you're the only person in the world that he's talking to. He's extremely funny. He is very witty. Now, he is also all business when it's time for business. I mean, everything else is put aside, and he wants to problem solve, and he wants to make a difference. He wants to move the needle. And, of course, that is part of his personality that the left can't stand, because he does push back on the swamp. And I think for that very reason, they're going after him right now.
Yeah, well, they hate him. And I mean, it's obvious with all of this stuff and these trials that are going on right now. I call them Schiff shows after Adam Schiff, because the J6 committee was another joke aimed at targeting people. And the thing is that Trump right now is in the hot seat, and they're literally not only trying to keep him off the campaign trail. But, you know, I was commenting yesterday on the show about the fact that Alvin Bragg, the DA up in the New York criminal case right now with the hush money thing going on. And then you've got Mitt Romney out there, which I do not understand how these rhinos just come out of the gate and start talking about you don't pay somebody $130,000 not to have sex and he's guilty. And it's like, wait a minute, they're trying to try the case in the media at the same time. And his own party is coming against him, or at least people we thought were, but don't, you know, that's where the term rhino comes from. But, you know, we keep telling Mitt to put his onesies on and just shut up and be quiet about the whole thing and just let it play out. So many legal analysts right now, congressmen, are sitting there looking at this case going, there's no way that Trump is going to lose this thing. He's going to come out of this thing victorious. But the thing is in New York State, trying to find a judge that's not corrupt and trying to find a jury that is open-minded enough to hear the facts and the truth, knowing that this whole thing is politically motivated. Now even Michael Avenatti wants to testify. I mean, the thing is that you have had your personal battles with the United States government in the course of your life, including the IRS. The thing is that they want Trump in jail, and that would hurt them because it would make him a martyr if that happened. And this is why D.A. Bragg is backing off. I'm just going to ask you flat out your opinion. How do you feel about the fact that they don't want him in jail? They want him in that trial.
Yeah, well, they do. I think there's many of them who would love to see him in jail. But you are exactly right that, number one, with what they're doing. But what's fascinating to me is the more they go with this, the higher he goes up in the polls, even while he is not able to campaign right now. Saw an article this morning that he is continuing to take the lead further and further in the polls. The American people see that this is politically driven, that it is a weaponized government going after political opponents. They understand this is not what America is made of. This is not the judicial system that that has made America a great country where there is equal protection under the law. People see what's going on here. And I think already, in many regards, President Trump has become the national martyr, and people are getting behind him and supporting him. And that's the reason he continues to climb in the polls, even while he's not able to get out there and campaign right now. It's fascinating. And this is going to be a massive boomerang on the left and their radical use of government to be weaponized against political enemies.
Wow. Well put. The bigger facet here, though, when we're talking about the reason why you wrote Sacred Trust, I mean, something obviously motivated you to write this book. And I guess you saw the writing on the wall. If we don't get a handle on this thing, 2024 is a huge year, critical, because this country cannot take another 4 years of the current administration and weaponize justice.
Well, that's right. And I saw all of this. I was a senior member on the Oversight Committee in Congress, and literally the week after the first known case of COVID in the United States, the very next week, Democrats started holding hearings in the Oversight Committee, and the hearings went one after another, after another, after another, the basic essence of which was that we need to change our election laws, federalize, if you will, our election laws, because COVID is coming, an epidemic is coming. People are not going to be able to go to the polls. They're going to be fearful to go. They're going to be sick. Perhaps there will be lockdown, whatever. But they started demanding that we send ballots to people instead of having people come to vote. That we, all these things, the ballot harvest, all these things started being pushed week after week after week in one hearing after another. And then they added a second layer on top of all of that, that in addition to COVID, we have voter suppression all across the country, and they held up Georgia as their Exhibit A. And, of course, being from Georgia, I knew our state. I knew our election laws and our system, and I knew what they were saying was false. So I started pushing back, and one thing led to another. I started pushing back on the Georgia issue, but then also with the federal takeover of elections and what they were attempting to do. And, of course, I was not alone. There were many others doing it, but I became a lead voice in that, and that's how I got involved in this process. And sure enough, what the Democrats were pushing, we had states all across the country, be it governors or secretaries of state, unilaterally bypassing their state legislatures and enacting voter process reforms, laws for all practical purposes that totally altered things that never would have been allowed through state legislatures, became the new law of the land as it relates to voting, and totally upended integrity and confidence of the people that their votes count. And that is what this book is all about, to regain what has been lost and how we, the people, can do so.
It's amazing that, you know, anybody that has been listening to this thing on the sidelines, because our listeners do an insane amount of research, Congressman, and the bigger picture here is, to many, is if you haven't realized, based on what Jody Heiss just said, folks, you have a situation here that makes it look like not only was the intent to depopulate part of the United States and adversely affect the voter base, but it was to fearmonger and scare everybody into trusting the government and what the government was doing, when the whole intent was nefarious in the first place. They used COVID. They lied to Trump. Fauci and Birx and Daszak and Collins and everybody on board. And we've been following this stuff like crazy, Congressman, and we know. And you just brought up the political side of things. I mean, you're sitting in your office in the hallowed halls, and people are coming at you, you know, nobody's business, trying to convince you. Then you got Operation Warp Speed, and they're trying to tell you that everything here is legitimate. It's a major concern. You don't seem to be fooled by any of what they were doing. You realized right out of the gate that COVID was being used not only to weaponize, to murder people, but politically influence the outcome of the elections in 2020. Was it not?
Well, you know, I didn't have a crystal ball. I couldn't see what was coming in the upcoming election. But it was oddly disturbing. I thought while the rest of the country, myself included, were wondering, what is COVID? What is this going to mean to me? What is it going to mean to our family? What is this? Is it going to be a pandemic? We, at that point, there were no lockdowns or none of that sort of thing. And we were all wondering what is going on, but it was oddly disturbing. While the country was asking, what is this potential pandemic going to mean? Democrats were in the oversight committee pushing for election reform. And I recall not knowing what ultimately was going to happen, but I was disturbed. Like, what are, and it was like a unified voice. It was one hearing after another. And it just, it raised the alarms in me with what's going on here. And, you know, sure enough, as I mentioned, it appeared to be something that ultimately many states picked up on what they were demanding. And we had, through frequently bypassing legislatures, laws enacted through emergency declarations that altered the most sacred thing we have as Americans, and that is to determine who's going to represent us and what kind of policies we're going to live under.
And I've always said that, you know, government should be run by we the people, not the other way around. You know, we expect more of our government than our government was designed to give. And I keep hearing everybody, including Carlson, use the D word for democracy. And I'm like, wait a minute. No, I thought we had a constitutional republic, because we don't get up there and pledge allegiance to the democracy for which it stands. We pledge allegiance to the republic. And I've been telling people this ever since I started hosting this show, that we live in a constitutional republic, not a democracy. And by pushing democracy, representative or otherwise, they're lying to you. And they keep proliferating this. And more you talk about the fact that all these committees start getting together trying to change election laws, it looks like they knew that they were going to scare everybody with this fear porn that they were doing, pushing this agenda, and everybody needs to go out and get the jab, and you're going to have to stay home, and you can't communicate. You have to stay 6 feet apart, so you can't communicate. You can't share ideas. You can't talk about what your inner feelings are about the thing that this may be nefarious, and they're trying to wreck our country. The more you talk about stuff like this, Congressman, it looks like this whole thing was by design to take us over.
Well, it had every appearance of that. You know, I can't point to a group of how they organized this or whatever, but I remember feeling that something was underway here that is nefarious. Something is taking place that I, at that point, did not understand, but it raised a great deal of concern. And again, my purpose is not to be political in this. My purpose is to protect elections. I may not like if my candidate loses, but if it was a fair election, then I can come back 2 years from now and try to sway people to vote differently. But if that election process is compromised ever, and if the voice of the people is no longer heard and protected, then we're in serious trouble. How do we take it back at that point? So this whole issue of election integrity is something that is of supreme importance, something that we must protect, something that must be defended. It is indeed a sacred trust, both on the side of the voters as well as those elected officials whose duty it is to protect it.
And since you were, and I believe you still are, ordained in the ministry, the churches, that's the last thing I want to approach here because we have a couple minutes left. The situation with the churches and how they can stand up, because right now it looks like the IRS isn't going to do anything about it. Church leaders have been, you know, very reluctant to say anything. It looks like the churches, you know, not only are they dropping in attendance, I mean, we see a resurgence in certain areas of people finding faith again. But this all has to do with election integrity again and having the willingness and the boldness to stand up and be counted, having put on all the armor to stand.
Yeah, absolutely. And to me, you know, as a pastor, anything that the scripture dealt with was not only fair game, it was my responsibility to teach to my congregants. And that oftentimes dealt with current issues that are happening, that are taking place in our country. And the Bible addresses these things. But the IRS has come in through the Johnson Amendment and basically said, if you address anything political, you could lose your tax exempt status, and you and or the church could be sued, and on and on and on. So we pushed back against that. I ended up being one of 33 pastors across the country who challenged that. And Alliance Defending Freedom was our legal backdrop. And as you said, the IRS did nothing. So we decided to do it again. And basically what we did was endorse a candidate from the pulpit.
I love it.
But churches have to get engaged. Thank you.
They do. Congressman Jody Heiss, we're out of time. But I'll tell you what, folks, get the book Sacred Trust. It's very well written. You can get it through our website at thepowerhour.com. Click on the guest tab and you can buy the book through that format. In the meantime, Congressman Heiss, God bless you for the work that you've done and the fact you've served. And we thank you for your service in so many different ways. And I'm sure that the Almighty is looking down and will judge you accordingly for all the good works you've done. And you have crowns laid up for you. We appreciate you.
Well,
and thank you for being
on
the show. All right, there you have
God
it.
Bless. Keep the torch
of God bless you. Hey, we are trying, buddy. We are trying. Thank you so much. And, you know, keep up the fight. That's all you can do, folks. You know, we're trying to tell you, your vote does matter. And so does your opinion. And so does getting out in the community and being a part of it and monitoring what the other side is doing. This is a spiritual battle, folks. We will see you tomorrow. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
Paratrex is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.